So you know how I've been watching the World Series a lot?
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of car commercials and stuff, and get a load of this. Both of you won't be surprised, but just wait for my analysis. So there's a Lexus called the IS.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like the IS250, right?
Okay, so how would anyone who has never heard that pronunciation of it not just call it the IS?
Because they're both capital letters.
What do you mean? You can write things in capital letters. People say KISS, like the band. That's all caps all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know.
Why did they name a car the IS? Furthermore, doesn't spelling it out, like spelling out the word IS, kind of just sound like a British guy saying, ah, yes.
Wait, what?
It like vaguely sounds like that. You can make a marketing campaign around like, hey, don't call this car the IS. Call it the, and then you just cut to a British guy saying, ah, oh, yes. And they go, no, IS. And that's Lexus. I think then the car would sell. Because right now, it just, I don't understand why it's like driving alongside mountains if it's just the IS.
I think I understand why you don't work in marketing.
I do work in marketing. That's my title.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Like real US dollars end up in my bank account every month.
Don't you mean us dollars? You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Mike Bogart, Tappan Zhani, and me, Josh Harrison. So, last week, we talked about that guy dressed as Pikachu that climbed the White House fence.
Remember him well.
Right.
Yeah.
And in that discussion, it had come to light that I didn't know anything about Digimon.
Yes, shamefully so.
Yeah, and you were pretty angry about that, if I recall.
No, I wasn't angry about it. I just didn't know anything about it. It was like it never registered for me on the radar of things that younger Josh cared about, or current Josh.
Definitely should have, because it was great.
Sure.
So you still don't like Digimon?
Well, like is not in the picture. Hmm. Like is irrelevant to...
Oh my God.
No. It is irrelevant to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Because I had lunch with Troy, listener of the show, last week. And he heard this, and this upset him, because he really liked Digimon and has an extensive knowledge of it.
Oh.
So he handed me an envelope marked urgent.
Was there an exclamation point or an underline?
I think there were multiples of both.
Oh.
Wow. Double underline?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, did you open that package right away?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Troy meant business.
And inside was a 52-page... it's not spiral bound. You know what I'm talking...
Like, is it like a flip book, a 3x3 flip book of Digimon cards?
No.
Damn
it's like 8.5x11s, and it's like it's got the clear plastic cover sheet, and it has like this plastic binding. It's not spiral binding, but it's like
homemade. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, he went to Kinko's.
What's in it?
It is an introduction to Digimon as written by Troy Ferriero.
Oh.
This is 52 pages. It's got a lot of pictures.
Original art?
Is Troy George Costanza?
It's not original art, no. He copied and pasted. He did also like take some of the paraphrasing of some of the plot summaries, but there was a lot of editorializing from him. Apparently, he just got married. His was the wedding that I went to a couple weeks back.
He did this whilst married? Wow.
Yeah, whilst married.
Like in their honeymoon period. Like,
don't know how much longer it'll last. Apparently, she went to bed at like 11, and she's like, what have you been working on for the past couple hours? And then he didn't go to bed until 3.
There's no way you could tell her.
I hope when she asked him that, she was standing in the door frame of like the only lit room in the house while Troy was hunched over his keyboard, and he never turns back to answer her because he's so focused on Digimon.
That's probably true.
So what's it say? Give us a line.
Well, so let me start reading from the introduction. Digimon, short for Digital Monsters, is a Japanese media franchise encompassing virtual pet toys, anime, manga, video games, films, and a trading card game.
Wow.
Okay.
This is great so far.
It goes on and on from there. If you want to pick like a page number between 1 and 52.
69. Oh, damn it.
That is not.
Shit.
1 and 52.
What's the opposite of 69?
What is the
96? Would that even work?
It's just back to back.
It's kind of just back rubs at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had 96. That sounds nice.
So there's a picture of a guy that it says 27 Belfamon. I'm just Googling names here. It looks right. like this.
The quality really, really changed in those first 39 pages. Now he's just writing stream of consciousness.
But yeah, there's a lot going on in here. He talks about somebody being a ladies' man.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, he also didn't get into the video games at all. He ran out of time.
Isn't that the whole thing? The whole thing started, it's a game.
No, dude. The whole thing was the card game and the show.
Did it started as a card game?
Yeah. It, the closing line is Digimon Adventure Try is very, very good. So I've perused this. I now have a working knowledge of Digimon, which is great. Thank you, Troy.
Have you seen it?
I have not watched any yet.
Oh, what the hell, man? That really could have just... I feel like Troy's whole document could have been summed up in any single episode of Digimon.
Probably. 22 minutes.
They're pretty heavy on the tropes.
But so instead of Digimon, what is something that you know extremely little about that you would appreciate if a friend of yours went and made a 50-page, like, cover-to-cover, here's the basic knowledge of X subject for you?
I have one immediately.
Okay.
The moon landing.
Okay. Why?
Like, okay. Here's the thing. When I was... like maybe 11 years old, I was very much like Troy is now as a married adult. And I saw a special on Fox about...
We all saw it.
Right.
We all saw it. The flag doesn't move, the shadows in both areas.
I got so into that theory that I made my own 52-page booklet.
No, you didn't. Come on, man. Really?
I don't know how many pages it was. It was at least like 18 to 20 pages. Yeah. And I published
it. What's it called?
What was it called? It was one of the... I can't remember.
If you could name it now, what would you name it?
I'd call it...
What do you got?
I got Neil Armstrong's Big... month.
Okay, I got a better name. Lies and Conspiracies, The Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh.
No, that's not as good. Wait, so the definitive summary of the moon landing would be called Neil Armstrong's Good Month?
Big Month, I believe he said.
His Big Month.
That just reminds me of the movie Baby's Day Out.
Basically, it is basically the same plot.
Oh my god, what do you think? That was a recap of World War II? Okay, Mike, so what did you find?
I put together this booklet, and, well, I found a lot of disturbing details, honestly.
Go on.
And I want someone to clear this up for me.
Like, what were some of the disturbing details?
There was, like on the little photos, there's like a little plus sign, and sometimes it was like superimposed over or like under a guy or over it. I don't know. It was implying Photoshop somehow. I don't know. There was implied Photoshop.
Okay.
That might have been the only point now that I think about it. I'm trying to.
Wasn't there something about the flag? Like the flag?
The flag, yeah. Like why was the flag waving or, yeah. Right.
Where did you land on this?
I landed on 100%. This is not real. This is a
hoax. Did not expect you to come to that conclusion after the research. What? Okay, so you don't think the moon landing happened?
I don't really think I did a lot of research. I think I just watched the show and then wrote what happened in the show.
Your book was just a summary of the show?
I think, yeah, pretty much.
It's like when you need to do a book report on something, but you don't want to read the book, so you just watch the movie and then write the recap of that.
Or just write what's on the back. That's probably his whole summary.
Yeah.
I feel like, I think I brought this to school or something, and I remember it offending people. I remember it being like, yo, like, this was an important part of my, like, growing up, and, like, don't say this stuff.
You have offended people by bringing things to school on three separate occasions then, because first time, remember when it was just t-shirts of your face and it said Mike underneath it?
That was not my idea, nor was I complicit in any way.
First of all, you agreed to it and then you wore one and you bought it, I think.
I didn't agree. So our two friends wore, they took a really bad yearbook photo of me and put it on a t-shirt and then...
Hang on, let me say that they learned how to do all of these things while doing these things.
Very industrious.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were going to do that. And then they just put, like, Mike under it in giant word art. And they wore him to school one day. And everyone thought I was being bullied, and they got in trouble.
But then... Right after that, the order started coming in.
Right, merchandising.
They started taking orders for Mike t-shirts.
That's when I got on board.
Wait, how many people bought these?
Oh. Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure they scammed everyone, if I can't remember correctly.
We took 10 or 11, 12, 15 orders or so.
Weren't you part of the scam? You took orders and did you take cash?
I got it.
And then just not deliver the shirts?
Look.
That's illegal.
Yes, I did.
Unbelievable. Josh, how would you feel if you had pre-ordered a Mike t-shirt and it just never came?
I don't know. I would feel really betrayed. I feel like...
You betrayed all those people, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I would just feel so helpless because I put my trust and money in you. Like, that's two things that are important.
And he did it because he wanted to represent your face and name.
That's true. You just did it as a fan. Oh.
He cares about you so much, and the first thing you did to him was just take his money and run.
It's like, okay, imagine if somebody named Travis heard about our show, and like somebody told him how great it was, and he was like, okay, this sounds good. I like listened to a clip on my friend's phone. I'm going to subscribe. And then from then on, the only episodes we made were like 5-minute streams of insults about Travis. Personal insults about him, his family, how terrible he is as a person. That's what you would have done if you just like took my money and ran.
Can we just make that as a new segment? We can call it Travis Trashin.
Travis Trashin. And then what was that other incident? You got in trouble for the Bake Off paraphernalia.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Well, this was the most genuine thing ever. We decided to have a baking competition among our friends. And I guess we did this a lot, but we had to make t-shirts for them. Team shirts for every... It was two-person teams, and they're like... I think there were five teams, and then we had judges, and then we just had, like, the audience.
Our judges were just our three friends who, like, liked eating. They had all talked about how much they enjoyed eating, and so they became the judges. Shout out to our judges, one of whom listens to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Hey, bun.
Was your area of Chicago, of the suburbs of Chicago, like, ripe with t-shirt making companies? Because Mike, you've talked about how like your parents got you that Mike Summer bathroom tour shirt.
Oh man.
And like how many custom shirts have you been a part of in your lifetime?
I've been a part of
a lot.
Yeah, at least 10.
So many.
At least 10.
10?
So many.
Yeah. I've definitely worn like the family vacation t-shirt too.
Is that like a bright yellow?
It's, well, yeah, cuz you all get it. You got to say it together, you know. Elephant style.
Sure.
So, but we wore our team shirts to school the day before the bake-off. And basically, the problem was that no one believed that we were really having like a dessert baking competition. They thought we were baking in other ways.
They thought we were getting baked.
They thought we were getting baked.
And we were celebrating by wearing t-shirts.
Well, yeah. But we were having a genuine dessert off. And it was great. It was like, it was really fun. And there was nothing unsavory about it in any way.
We need an instead of to this. Mike, pick either one of these stories and change something.
Okay. if you were gonna get in trouble for wearing a t-shirt, like basically what would your t-shirt thing have to be for?
I've always thought that people would hate it if I wore a shirt that said Marley Davidson and had a cross of like Bob Marley stuff and motorcycles. I thought people would like really hate me for it, and oh, I think if I wore that,
everyone would.
No one would ever like to be a part of Marley Davidson.
Two groups with absolutely no crossover.
Right? Aren't you guys upset that I even said it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a single group that would like that.
Nobody would like Marley Davidson t-shirts.
I feel like that could be the kind of thing where you could sell them on the cheap in Asia somewhere, and people who don't understand either of the references might wear them.
That's true.
That's the only market for that t-shirt.
There's something so like background racist about what you're saying. But anyway, what would you wear to school?
Isn't the word seal in French like the word fuck or something?
Is it?
Hold on. What?
How do you spell that?
What?
S-E-A-L, like the animal.
Urban Dictionary says that it's fawk.
Oh.
What's fawk?
That's close enough.
P-H-O-Q-U-E. Okay, anyway, now that we know that it's fawk, what would you do with this?
I feel like I would just like pretend to be really into seals in France, and I would wear that shirt, and I'm sure I would get in trouble because it has like basically a curse word. Well, not really, because it's spelled so differently. I would need to be one of those t-shirts that like has a button on it that you can like press it and it makes noise and it just says fuck over and over and over.
Oh.
Like a bad pronunciation of it.
This is a crazy plan. You're going to go to France and become a fan of seals to wear a shirt that's a pun? Why would you just...
Better than Marley Davidson.
I don't know.
You don't like either of those things.
I think my thing is way more hateable than yours. Yours just takes so much like work.
Well, so I thought the question was about getting in trouble, where mine would totally do that over yours. Like,
Mike, yeah. Can you change the question to make it something that I won?
Every day on my walk to work, I go by this very famous building in Chicago, the Harold Washington Library.
Hey.
Yeah. And it made me realize that I haven't crossed this like life milestone that everyone else in the world has crossed, because I have never had a library card.
Well, first,
never had a library card.
Yeah, for starters, they're called library cards. So, if you've like gone somewhere and asked, where can I get a library card? That might be part of your problem.
Oh, God. Wait, Josh, say more.
So,
talk about how dumb it was that he said library. Wait. I'll save Mike from this. Mike had to say that as the result of losing a bet, but your reaction was just so purely angry.
I thought it'd be a little softer.
He hates you, dude.
I thought I could float it a little softer.
Oh, God.
Wait, that was a bet? That's the reason you said that?
Yeah, it was a bet. He lost a bet.
I lost a bet.
What bet? To whom?
To me. Who else would bet him this?
I don't know. What was the bet?
Mike, tell the story. You tell it good. You tell it good.
So, Tappan and I made a bet over Mitchell Trubisky's rookie debut, and his rookie debut on Monday night. would it be better than Aaron Rodgers or not? And if it wasn't, then
position did I take?
You took the position that Aaron Rodgers, famous quarterback, would be better.
I did. I took what I thought was the sensible position, and Mike gave me odds on this bet.
I gave you odds, and I lost. So my punishment was I had to say library.
What would have happened if you won? Would Tappan have to say that?
No, it was, I think it was like you had to donate money to charity, right?
No, yeah, I said.
I think you had to give $50 to charity.
I know what the bet was. I said, Mike, listen, you got to stop getting like less hyped about this kid. He's still young. He has to develop. Let's all this. Like, I said, look, if he does better than Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football, the same debut that they had, I will give $50 to any charity you want. But if he sucks, which I'm telling you is going to happen, he's going to, like, you're just going to say library on the podcast multiple times. And he agreed to it, and here we are.
Here we are.
So have you had a library card?
No, I've never had a library card. I have to keep saying library, I'm bound.
Yeah, he does. So go ahead, finish the story.
No, so I've never had a library card. I've been to the library a lot of times, but I've never had I've never checked a book out ever.
Are you going to get one?
Oh, well, at this point, like, I don't know. Why? I don't think so.
I challenge you to go get a library card and to check out a book and read the book and then report back.
All right.
What book? We have to pick the book.
Yeah. Pick my book. Ooh, book club.
Read three Sabrina Teenage Witch books.
Three,
because they're always like 10 pages long.
How do you know?
No, I'm finding something a little more relevant. Hang on.
Well, that's mean.
I want you to read the book Why There's Doubt, Moon Landings by Craig Fraley.
Okay. Wait, let me write this out. Why There's Doubt. Moon landings.
I'm impressed that you knew there was a colon there.
Oh, I know all about colons. By Frank who?
Craig.
Craig. Okay.
Fraley. Fraley.
Frank who?
It is the number one result on Amazon if you search moon landing conspiracy.
All right, dude. Fraley better bring it.
Yeah.
I'm open. Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
Mike, you can find his books in the Neil Armstrong section.
So my instead of was what like obvious life milestone that everyone reaches have you not reached?
I've never voted and it sucks and I hate it and I really want to vote and look what you guys all did.
Why didn't you, where could you vote? Canada?
I could never vote.
You couldn't ever vote.
I have never been able to vote.
Damn.
Huh.
Yeah. You goddamn take for granted civil liberties, jackasses.
Did you lose a bet too, and that's why you said liberties?
I didn't say liberties. And if I did, I stand by it.
Civil liberties.
I've never broken a bone.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Has everyone gotten stung by a bee? And then we'll stop this nostalgia kick because let's talk about something that's new.
I've never been stung by a bee either.
Mike, have you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, never been stung by a bee.
I got stung by a bee last year on my way from my parents' front door to the garage. I was smiling and happy because I was going to my friend's wedding and a bee stung me in the ear. It was gross.
During the marathon, I like spilled Gatorade all over my face and like bees were just kind of swarming me and I was really hoping they would sting me.
Why would you do that with Gatorade and not water?
I was getting confused out there.
Dude, you had bees chasing you around for a whole 26 miles?
Honestly, by the end, I was like, please just end it. Just do it. Just sting me.
What a horrible experience. Some people would consider what you just said their nightmare.
Yeah, it sucked.
So I was out with my friends watching a ball game at the old Buffalo Wild Wings, you know? And when time came to pay, they asked, is anyone here a Blazon Rewards member? And I said I was. And my friend said, I think you're the only vegetarian in the whole world who has a Blazon Rewards membership. And I stopped for a second and I thought, that's totally possible. You know, like it's, it might be.
It's not a super vegetarian friendly place.
No, Buffalo Wild Wings is not a, they don't really cater to what I'm looking for. But anyway, so my question was going to be, what unexpected club do you two belong to? One of you is going to be an elk or a moose or some shit.
I don't think I belong to any exciting clubs.
Come, there has to be some. Josh, come on. You play so many video games. What, like, guild are you a part of? That's embarrassing.
I don't know. Like, I have a clan that I play Destiny with, but I'm kind of done with Destiny now.
How come no one minds that they're called clans?
Oh, I don't know.
We've only ever had one of those. Everyone knows what that means.
Yeah.
What's your clan tag? Like, goddamn.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
No, there were like all those clans in like feudal Japan and stuff, right? Weren't those clans?
Well, I mean,
whose clans were those? Come on. Name me a feudal Japanese clan. Like, just off the top of your head.
The Shogun clan?
Oh.
I don't know that they're the clan, though. No way.
What about like the Tokugawa or something like that? Isn't that something? Or is that just from a video game?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But all I'm saying is, so there has to be something that you do that's embarrassing, like something that you belong to that just doesn't make sense.
This isn't exactly what you're looking for, but I subscribe to YouTube Red for the wrong reasons. I just hate ads. I don't care about the special content. I don't care about the free Google Music.
Wait, you get...
Yeah.
Really? You get YouTube Red?
I'm a little bit like shocked. I honestly didn't think I would... I didn't think I'd ever come across anyone who had YouTube Red.
I don't know anyone who has that.
And like, he's been in front of us this whole time. Mike, he has, like, when he logs in, that icon on the top left of his screen says YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he doesn't get those no thanks ads.
Isn't that fucked?
Yeah. How is it?
I mean, it's pretty great to never have to worry about ads. That's about it.
That's it? There's no like crazy story on the other side of the wall? Like, what is it like over there? Do they treat you different? Is the background like black with velvet rope? Like, what's it like?
I watch my videos about 5 seconds in one click faster than you.
Wow. Yeah, you really have not sold this product to me at all, and I'm glad I don't have YouTube Red now.
Yeah, like, I fully realize that it is not the best use of money.
How much was it expensive?
Mike, guess how much it costs. Guess. $39.99 a month.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, Mike, he pays $40 a month for YouTube.
$9.99.
It is?
Yeah.
$39.99.
The other day, we were talking about Mike being bad at video games because he was at a bar and couldn't get past the first level on anything, apparently. And apparently, Mike has a shameful secret that we were going to save for the podcast.
Such a shameful secret. But okay, let me give our listeners... This is like Nostalgia Week. You know, it's week 19. We're celebrating the old days, but...
Oh, yeah. Let's celebrate.
Yay! Week 19.
Woohoo!
So, the secret is that even in the time that he was good, there's one thing that Mike was never able to do. Mike.
You know, in... Super Mario World. You know, like, the game?
Yep.
I've never gone past, like, level 4. I've never been able to beat, like, level 4.
He just can't do it!
Level 4, though.
But, like, even right now, as he says level 4, he's trying to think in his head if you can count that first thing as a level.
I'm not sure if what... Yeah, like...
But, like, it's... So there's a reason I bring this up. So first of all, Mike, you know, thank you for bringing that to the public. It's difficult. It's a courageous thing to do.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing.
It is. It is. But I've watched you play this game. And the thing is, it's not that Mike can't, like, it's not that he hasn't shown an ability to not beat Super Mario World levels. He dies in the same spot.
I got the yips. There's nothing I can do.
I'm confident that if you get past that spot, you could beat the game. It's a drop, too, you know, like the Mario drop where you just, like, exit out of frame at the bottom of the TV. Mm-hmm.
And he, like, shrugs his shoulders and, like, flies up a couple inches. And then it plays the sad music.
Guys, I can't do this. It's a mental block that is, like, I can't. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it.
But now you get to throw it. You get to throw it back at us. So I figured if you got to say this, then we got to say our secret shame too, Josh.
Wait, how come it has to be me first,
Josh?
Josh, why don't you kick us off, Josh?
Yeah, what's your biggest shame?
My biggest shame. So I was at a party once. I was 16 or 17 or something. And you know those Razor scooters?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the person who was having the party lived on like a very small incline. It was not steep at all, but it was enough that you don't need to propel yourself. That like if you took your foot off the ground, you would like slowly roll and get some momentum to go like, I don't know, 100, 150 feet. The people at this party, there were like four Razor scooters, and a couple people were out like, hey, I'm going to do this thing where like I squat down on the scooter. So like so my arms are actually above my head. Like I'm holding the handlebars above my head. Mm,
very cool move.
Yeah. And everybody did this. And then I'm like, I'm going to do this too. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but not being able to stretch your arms out in front of you makes it very difficult to steer. Like you don't have the power that can keep that pointed straight. So I started going. And after about 40 or 50 feet, it started like wiggling back and forth. And because I didn't have I wasn't standing and I didn't have that strength to stabilize it, it just kept shaking more and more out of control.
Oh my God.
You know a top, when a top is like about to stop spinning, it's like it's really stable, it's in one spot, maybe it's moving a little bit, but when it's getting close to the end, it's just wobbling all over the place before it ends up spinning out.
Yeah?
That was me. I was the top.
Oh my God.
Just like arms.
So I ended up losing control of the scooter. It flew out to my side, and I skipped across the pavement on my skin, and people were laughing. I was in pain. I was in agony, and then I spent the next like 45 minutes of the party at the kitchen sink picking bits of pavement out of my skin.
Oh, dude, gross, gross, gross.
That was a pretty shameful moment. Everybody could do it but me. Wow. I couldn't do it.
That's tough, buddy. Yeah, that's, you know, thank you for telling us that. That's tough.
What about you?
I think we're running kind of long. You know, I was thinking about it while you were telling your story, and you know, as every detail came out, it just sounded like, you know, a little more humiliating and everything. And I'm like, ooh, I kind of don't want to go through that. Like, you know?
Are you letting me win?
Yeah, you win. You win.
I don't want to win.
You got this one.
I don't want to win.
You got, nope, you already won.
You know, since I'm editing this episode, I'll just trim it down so that we stay within the right time frame so that it's a good length episode. I think that Mike and I, as well as our listeners, really want to hear the trio of shameful secrets.
God, what do I have? Got a good back catalog of things I'm ashamed about. Josh, do you know my greatest shame somehow?
I don't think so.
I can't think of anything. You usually like are pretty triumphant.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I'm out of it. We all thought about it. No one had any shame.
I really wish I hadn't used the word triumphant. It was hyperbole.
Oh, I got one. It's a very small one. There's no way it's my greatest shame, but it's like an example of dating foibles that I've made.
Oh.
Of which there are many stories.
Yeah.
But one, I remember I went to, I met this girl for the first time at some like Mediterranean restaurant, hanging out, chilling. It was cool. And on the walk back, like, she and I had parked to the same, like, right next to each other. So, like, I'm just, like, you know, wishing her a good night. And I'm honestly not trying anything. I'm moving in to, like, give her the hug that she's offering me. But she's an opposite head turner. So she turned into my face and she thought I was making a move. And so, like, everything kind of came like this grinding halt, and, like, no hug happened. No, like, make out happened. And she just, like, we both just took a step back. And then it was, like, the most embarrassing 2 minutes of my life, because we're both, like, our cars are next to each other and we have to, like, synchronize on how we leave these spots. Oh, that was rough. I still think about that sometimes.
So you false start on a kiss or whatever accidentally. And then you get in your, was she in your rear view mirror?
No, she was in the front. So she could, like, just see me, like, oh, God. Like, one of those things where you, like, close your eyes and pinch the top of your nose. Like, I don't know what the fuck just happened. It was the least smooth moment of my life. Moment. And movement.
A Utah man who found himself stuck in a boiler room while hiding from police ended up having to reach out to authorities for help, reports the Associated Press.
No way.
Shane Paul Owen, 46, was wanted for a...
Shawpain.
You know, I would have edited around that. Nobody would have known that I messed that up if you didn't call it out. Now I have to include it. Shane Paul Owen...
Is your shawl too heavy? Are you experiencing Shawpain?
Shane Paul Owen, 46, was wanted for a string of burglaries and was pursued by police Monday.
Wait, 46?
Yeah, 46-year-old man.
Oh, I thought it was 46. Like the longest lineage. You said it so fast. I'm like, are they saying his username instead of his real name in the newspaper? Like,
was wanted for a string of burglaries and was pursued by police Monday when he found himself running into a church to avoid arrest. More than 6 hours after he was accidentally locked in a church's boiler room, he had to dial 911 requesting to be rescued. A SWAT team held a standoff outside the church until Owens called. That's a pretty embarrassing end to a string of crime.
He had the pride and the ego to wait 6 hours before calling 911.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody would come get him.
I bet you that guy could have gone endlessly, like sitting in that boiler room, trying to hide, not making a move, if his battery had infinite charge. I bet he would have. On his phone.
Oh, he just wanted to keep swiping.
He was a victim of his circumstances.
Yeah, he was a real victim.
Yeah.
So, what would be a more embarrassing way, instead of having to call the police to get you out of getting stuck after they were already chasing you, what would be a more embarrassing way to get caught?
This has been a fear of mine. You know how you sometimes have, like, just daydreams about, like, oh, what if I just, like, did this?
Yeah.
That's what a daydream is.
But, like, sometimes they're, like, what if I just, like, rob this store? What would I do? So every time it's, like...
I think you saying that now shows that you had prior intent if you ever rob a store, by the way.
Oh, no.
So, like, you can't ever claim that it was an accident or that you were in some sort of, like...
Oh, no.
Mental anguish. So you just pre-admitted to robbing whatever store you've robbed.
What if it's just like a crime of passion, though?
What's going to lead you to rob a store in a crime of passion?
What if I just get like, wow, I really want that. I just take it. Does that count?
Oh, would you do that? Would you do that for a date if they said, I'll only date you if you rob this store? But like, rob it clean. I want all of the inventory in that store. In my house next week. When I walk by, it should be an empty store. This is your dream girl. Would you do it?
So I would. So I'd run it down the street. I have it all. I have it all in my hands. And like my pants fall down and I trip and fall and I spill it everywhere. No more embarrassing way to be caught. Your pants fall down.
That's funny. I had a similar thing, but I didn't want to be anywhere close to like ice or banana peels.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
No, I'm saying that like...
Then nothing?
Yeah. No, I'm saying that, like, if there was going to be an embarrassing way to get caught, I just don't want to slip and fall. You know, that's like, that one hurts.
I mean, yeah, that's just, yeah.
For me, it would be getting caught immediately. Like, if I, like, okay, robbing a store. Like, I rob a store and there just happens to be a policeman that is just walking down the street and he happens to be 3 inches from the doorway as I run out. And it's just like...
How does he know you're robbing it?
I'm running out as the alarms are going off, carrying a big TV, tapping.
What store are you robbing? I thought we were robbing 7-Elevens.
I mean, fine, 7-Elevens. Then I've...
Wait, you're talking about, like, running out of a Circuit City with a Samsung and a cop stops you outside? Yeah, that would be unbelievably embarrassing, dude. Those places have huge parking lots. Everyone would see what you did.
You'd be running for miles.
But I mean, like, it could be anything. It could be me.
No, it's this. It's this. That's way better this way.
But like a hit and run where I try and drive off and the very next car in front of him that I try and pass is a cop. It's like anything like that. It's like Grand Theft Auto where you like... are starting a race and you immediately crash your car or something.
Bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would hate if I got caught right as I thought I was about to make an unbelievable escape. I would hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, I just shoved it in everyone's face, whatever I did. Like, I've committed the crime of the century and I am going to live in space with everything I've ever wanted. Goodbye, world. And I press the button and, like, the sputtering of the engine happens. And I'm like, and I, like, press it again. And I press it again. I'm like, guys, I told you I wanted this to be a key. I didn't want this to be a button. And then, like, the cops come in and I'm fucked. I would hate that.
Thanks for listening. The best way for people to find out about the show is by telling other people and through reviews on Apple Podcasts. So it'd be great if you tell your friends, and if you like the show, tell other people what you think. We're on Twitter at InsteadOfFM and on the web at InsteadOf.FM, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.
Mike, I'm going to roll a dice. Guess what number it lands on?
4.
It was a 3. I'm going to do it again.
Oh, shit.
Okay, guess.
3.
2.
It was 5. I'm going to do it again.
6.
1.
Neither of you guys have asked me if I actually have a dice.
I was thinking, where did you get one?
I don't hear
but
one.
But then it just kind of started happening.
I just made up numbers so that you guys would always lose. I cheated you.
I really thought I was close.